Good morning, everyone. It's always good to start things off not knowing what's going to happen. But when I got dressed this morning, I knew what was going to happen because I was looking at what tie I would wear. And I decided to wear, I have one maize and blue tie. Why, I don't know, but I do have one. And I know John Dudley gets picked on all the time, and I think that's really bad. Especially... So actually last weekend after church, my son for Christmas had bought me a gift, and we exchanged family secret gifts, and I was his secret person. And for a gift, he got tickets for he and I to go to the Ohio State Michigan basketball game in Ann Arbor. And Ohio State lost. But walking into the gate, they were handing out free towels, and the towels said, "Beat Ohio State." I thought, what in the world am I going to do with that? I'm sorry, John, I gave it away. I didn't save it for you. Okay, before we get started, just a couple random thoughts. I was really encouraged by Dave Berner's message last week. I don't know if any of the others thought about that, but Dave talked to us about what true worship is and how frequently we think what we just got done doing is worship, and it is. It's a part of worship. But what I really picked up from Dave's message and thought about it a lot this weekend, and one of the nights this week we had a family time and we were discussing and we talked a little bit about Dave's message, and the thing we talked about is true worship, as described in the Bible, is not only when we show him worth with our singing, but when we commit our whole life to him. And the real challenge for me as I thought about that this week, am I worshiping God with all of my life? So Dave, that really challenged me last week. I really appreciate that. It was really encouraging. Another random thing that doesn't necessarily apply to the message today. I was laying in bed this morning, and one of the things that happens when you get to be my age is you wake up in the night and you don't fall right back asleep. Anybody else suffer from such a malady? Falling asleep takes me about 10 seconds. Falling back asleep takes hours. And last night, in case you were up at 4 or 5 o'clock, it was really windy. Did you hear the wind? And as I was laying there in bed, and we live in an old house, and so when it's windy at our house, there's a lot of noises. There's creaking and all kinds of different noises. And the verse that came to me, I had read a few weeks ago out of 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Now, if I looked out, I could not see the wind, right? But I could hear and see evidence of the wind. We can't see God, and faith is in that which we cannot see, but it's evidence of that which is unseen. And you know, what the Lord spoke to me as I was laying there in bed, as a child of the kingdom of God, there should be power in my life as the power of God to transform me, to change me. So that when I'm in a situation where I would normally really react, I don't. Because the power of God is working in me. And I really believe God wants his power. The kingdom of God is not just words. And I was thinking as I share this message, I'm going to share words, but without the power of God, they are meaningless. They are absolutely a waste. So I just want to trust that what we share today is accompanied by the power of God, because words do not change our life. God's power or God's anointing on those words change our life. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise your glorious name. And as we just got done singing, Lord, there's going to come a day when you will reign from shore to shore, and all the world will bow the knee and give you glory. And Lord, we're going to be on your side of that. And we praise you and we thank you. And we ask, oh God, that you would just take our time this morning, encourage our hearts, and draw us closer to you. And I ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So last time I shared was a couple weeks ago, and we shared in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I think at the beginning I said I would cover verses 1 or 3 through 7. I didn't really lie, but I didn't make it past verse 3. So our desire today is to, I don't know if we'll make it all the way to verse 7, but we'll give it a shot. Scott, who follows me, is sitting there waiting to find out where this message is going to end. But it's really my desire to share what the Lord has put on my heart. So just a quick summary of some of the things I shared last time. Talked about the importance of being pilgrims and strangers. And Ken shared that when he went over verse 1 some weeks back. But God wants us to have the heart of a pilgrim and a stranger. I've really been thinking about that one a lot, and I'm amazed at how many times my heart gets wrapped up as if I'm a resident. And it gets wrapped in things, and I would be lying to you if I would say I lay in bed at night and never think about the things of this earth and just focus on the things of God. But I got to talk to myself and remind myself. And that's why I believe God reminds us in these verses that we're pilgrims and strangers. We talked about God's abundant mercy. You may recall we talked about in the life of Peter, how Peter denied Christ 3 times. And when Christ was risen, the angel that had greeted those that came to see him in the tomb said, "Go tell my disciples I am coming for them and Peter." And God wants us to know that when he talks about abundant mercy, he means abundant mercy, far more than we can comprehend in our own heart. And that's God's view toward you and me. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You ever screw up? And you ever think you're not worthy and you're worthless? And yet God says, "No, no, you're mine. I want you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to restore you." So we talked about God's abundant mercy. And then we shared a little bit about, we started to get into trials. We didn't get very far. And I shared a little illustration of things going on at my work. I did want to clarify one thing. I know in my comments, I called some of the senior guys in our company muckety mucks. That was not a derogatory term. It's just, I'm one of those. So it's a fun term. God has really blessed me with some great bosses. And even the bosses I have today are really good bosses. So I talked about some of the challenges I was going through. You may remember. I did finally have the big meeting. I'm still working there, so that's a good thing. And I found what I really try to do in those situations is humble myself and not make excuses. And you know, when we stand before God someday, we're going to be in that position. It won't do any good whatsoever to make excuses. To blame your spouse, to blame your parents, to blame anybody. We're going to be open and bare before Almighty God. And he was very gracious, made it through that meeting. A lot of challenges still going on, but we're all still in that at working time, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. So now I would like to get into verse 4. I think I covered the end of verse 3, which talked about our living hope, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm going to come back to that in a little bit. But our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is not in a dead God. Our hope is not in an idol. Our hope is in a resurrected Jesus Christ. And that's really important. It's a living God. What makes us different from all the other religions in the world? We have a living God. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And don't ever forget that. We're not worshiping a dead God. We're worshiping a risen God. So in verse 4, let's read verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Let me read all the verses just in case we get to them today. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let's go back to verse 4, to an inheritance. What is an inheritance? An inheritance is something we get by being an heir, something that someone else bestows upon us. And it's derived by someone who has gone before us. And Christ has gone before us. So that inheritance is something that he has freely given to us. And it's important to know that inheritance is not something that comes from us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified, and in the King James, who has made us meet to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. God made us qualified to share in the inheritance. So when the children were younger, and we had all the children at home, we had a daily time each morning, and then oftentimes we had time in the evening where we would read. And one of the things that I really purposed to do was every year we would read through the book of Revelation. And didn't do it every year, but most years we got around to the book of Revelation, and we didn't read it all one night, but we would read through the book of Revelation. And some of the children have told me after they've grown up and left the house, they said, Dad, that used to scare me to death. I thought to myself, good. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil, right? Nothing wrong. But part of the reason I like to share that is same reason a few times in the past I have sat down and read the book of Job from beginning to end in one sitting. It's 42 chapters. If you've never done that, it's good to do. You want to know why? Because God writes the final chapter, and as you progress through that and get to the end, it's really exciting. Same with the book of Revelation. But I think it's important because many times we lose sight. Revelation's a complicated book. If I were to sit here and tell you I could explain to you all that means, that would be a lie because I don't fully understand. And anybody who tells me they do fully understand, I'm not too sure. As you know, it's a very, very complicated book. But one thing we do know is what we find in Revelation 21. So if you have your Bible, could you turn to Revelation 21? I'm going to be reading from the ESV. And what I really want you to do is we're going to take some time going through this, and I know sometimes it's a bit arduous to read that much scripture, but it's important to be reminded that God has an inheritance for us. And when we go through this, you'll see that the Holy Spirit, through John, was very specific about what some of the things in this inheritance are. Why? Because he wants us to know it's real. What we're going to talk about is real for us. So let's read through this chapter of Scripture. This is after all the judgments. And God's going to bring judgment, and he's going to return again. But this is what we can look forward to. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. I was at a memorial service yesterday, and the father of the young girl who had died in an automobile accident shared that verse. There is going to come a day. We have tears here, don't we? And we have mourning here. But there's going to come a day when that is completely gone. Our mind can't fully comprehend that now. That's okay. But that day is coming. They'll all be gone. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of the life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. But for us. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia, its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Can you imagine a city pure gold? And we're going to talk in just a few minutes how our inheritance cannot be defiled. I was looking at my wedding ring as I was reading that this morning, and there's little scratches on my wedding ring. Do you have little scratches on your wedding ring? They just get roughed up over time. We're going to walk on the streets of gold for eternity, and it's never going to get scuffed up. It's going to always be beautifully radiant forever and ever and ever. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with great every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a real inheritance for us. And why is it important that we spend time talking? Because if we lose sight of what God tells us to remember, of this inheritance we have, we get discouraged, we get caught up in our troubles, we get disheartened, and that's not where God wants us. And I would encourage you, and as I said when I started this a few weeks ago, it's important because as we're going through some of the later chapters and Peter's talking about struggles and trials, we need to come back and remember this is temporary here. We're strangers and pilgrims. What we have to look forward to is this inheritance. And last few weeks at work have been really challenging, and I've been talking to myself a lot. Even laying in bed last night, after I got over the wind revelation, I started thinking about work and all these big decisions facing me. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, I know it's not that important. But I'm human, and you got to help me. And I really believe that's why God says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why is it important to read Scripture? There's several reasons. One is the living Word of God. Two, we need to make sure that God brings to remembrance the things that are true, because we oftentimes get caught up in our circumstances rather than focusing on God's promises. And this inheritance, it's God's promise for you and me, not based on your performance. And we can thank God for that. So what else do we know about this inheritance? It's incorruptible. It's not subject to decay of any kind. It will not perish. It endures permanently. It's undefiled. It's not contaminated or polluted in any way. It's pure and holy. And I can't change it. God made it. He created it. It's perfect. And it will be that way forever. And it will never fade away. The things of this earth fade away, do they not? Put a curtain next to a sunny window. Dark red curtain. 10 years from now, probably won't be dark red. It fades away. The things that we take in on this earth fade away. The inheritance we have in heaven will never, ever fade away. And there in the next part of that verse, it says, reserved in heaven for you. I thought about this. Is that a universal you? Who is the you? Reserved in heaven for you. I'm sure you've been to a funeral or you've talked to someone and they say, well, their suffering's over. Now they're in a better place. That's not always true. Because if you read those verses in Revelation 21, not only does it talk about the promises of our inheritance, but it also talks about the consequences of rejecting God. And it's not just out of God's presence. It's a lake of burning fire. And so I wouldn't call that a better place. And the better place is reserved in heaven for who is the you? Those who have put their hope in the resurrected Jesus Christ. It says there in verse, it says, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul goes into a lot of detail about the importance of the resurrection, because I think he was addressing the Sadducees who didn't believe in resurrection. And Paul basically said, if there is no resurrection, we're preaching in vain. We're preaching in vain. And so those who put their hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the death and resurrection is the full payment for our sins, they are the ones We are the ones that heaven is reserved for you. And I think it's so important. If you're sitting here today and you're basing your hope on your good outweighing your bad, I want you to know that's not what the Bible teaches. If your hope for eternity is in anything other than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to make you meet to be a partaker in the inheritance, you're in trouble. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel. And there's a lot of other gods out there in the world. None of those gods, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, will bring someone to the inheritance that we're talking about. And if you are in that spot and you have not yet put your hope and faith in Jesus Christ, today is a day of salvation. I would not wait. I would not wait. Any one of the elders would be more than willing to talk to you, and there's others here. And if you're ever in a conversation at work or anywhere else, these verses are very clear. Our hope has to be in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So let's go on. Who are kept by the power of God. It says in verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I talked just a little bit about the power of God. And I would encourage you, again, if you didn't take me up on it the last time, read Isaiah 40. It's an excellent chapter of Scripture that talks about the power of God. And read Job chapter 37 for 40. That is one of the most encouraging portions I know in all of Scripture. If you really want to enjoy it, read the first 36 verses, chapters before you do that. I'll tell you, it's worth your while. God's power keeps our inheritance. It's incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. What a tremendous promise. And it says, ready to be revealed in the last time. What is the last time? Every one of us are going to face that last time, whether it's at the return of Christ or through death here on this earth. This past week, yesterday I attended the memorial service of Rosella Petrie, a young lady who died on her 20th birthday. Many of you I saw there. But the reality is her last time came a couple weeks ago. The good news is all that I'm talking about was revealed to her. Isn't that exciting? And the other one that I'm sure none of you missed, Billy Graham went to be with the Lord at 99. I don't know if you took the opportunity. There were many, many articles out there. I read one about his life, and boy, it sure challenged me. Somehow, through the work of God's Holy Spirit and a mighty outpouring of grace on his life, he gave up the things of this earth to serve his God. And Billy Graham would tell you, he's nobody. The God he served is mighty. And it was a real challenge to me. So their last time came. And you know, when our last time comes, it won't do us a whole lot of good at that time to have a bunch of regrets. It's over. It's over. And I would just encourage you, if the Lord's been working in your heart like he has in mine, don't wait till tomorrow. Yield to his grace in your life and the little things, because we never know when a little thing is going to have a huge impact on someone's life. And God is working in us in the little things. Okay, I'm about halfway there. What I'd like to talk about next. Okay, you guys saw, I tried to get the children to jump for joy. I actually am babysitting some of them this afternoon, so they might hit. I watched them. They did jump for joy, so they're okay. I know their parents are here looking at me right now. It says, in this you in the ESV, it says, in this you rejoice. In the King James, it says, in this you greatly rejoice. So I said, okay, which one is it? So I went and looked up the Greek. I encourage you, if you're reading over Scripture and you want to know the true meaning, go look up the Greek. I am not a Greek scholar by any means, but there's a lot of tools out there. And the Greek word is agalaiao. Well, any Greek scholar would just have shot me for that. But you know what it means? It means jump for joy. Really? Yes. It means jump for joy. So that inheritance that we just talked about, God says, in this greatly rejoice. When's the last time you jumped for joy over your inheritance? You chuckle. When's the last time, even in our heart, we leapt for joy? I've been meditating on this, and even this morning, I was so humbled by God as I thought of these verses and just really focused on this. I started rejoicing in tears. And I'm going to do something a little different. We do have a little bit of time here this morning. I want to stop right now, and I want to give you the opportunity. You can quietly, you can jump if you want to. I wouldn't really run around, but if you do, if that's what the Lord moves you. But I just want to stop for a minute. I was so encouraged the day we had the ice storm. And rather than talking about praying, we prayed for the service. So rather than talking about rejoicing, and I don't know your circumstances, and I am confident some of you out there are in some really tough circumstances right now. I have no doubt. But for just a second, just pause in your heart and let's take a minute to pray and rejoice. And you may not feel like rejoicing. That's okay. Thank God anyhow. So let's just take a minute. After a minute or so, if it gets loud in here, I don't care. If it's quiet in here, I don't care. Don't know what the other elders think, but that's okay. So let's just pause and pray. And in about a minute or so, I'll pray. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just rejoice in you. And Lord, there are no words to describe your great mercy and your love and your promises. And I pray, Lord, that you'd keep bringing our hearts back through your grace and mercy, even to these thoughts, Lord, that you have an inheritance for us, reserved in heaven for us, kept by your great power. We thank you and we praise you. And God, make our lives different as a result. Don't just change our thoughts, change our hearts, that we might enjoy a sweeter fellowship with you and with one another to your great glory. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, I would encourage you, take times to rejoice in your inheritance. The enemy doesn't want you to. He wants you to forget. Okay. Verses 6 and 7. We're going to continue in verse 6. It says, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the testing of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, a couple things that really stood out to me in those verses. It says, though now for a little while, if necessary. Is anybody here fully refined yet? Probably necessary then for each of us. And I was thinking too, I have a tendency to get down on myself a little bit or get discouraged when I think of I'm going through these trials. And then I was in Mexico this past week and I'm driving through various neighborhoods and I'm seeing how people live and some of the challenges, and some of you have been to places, you know what I'm talking about. What the trial is, what God showed me in my heart, really isn't what matters. What the trial is what's God doing in my life and what he wants to reform and refine in my life. And I look out and I see Andy back there. You say, wow, that was a big trial. And you bet it was. And we all rejoice, don't we, to see him here? Praise the Lord. I look at Jim Hayes over here and I see Jim. And one of the things that God showed me this week is, who determines how long the season is? And I look at Kathy back here and know the pain and trials that she has gone through. And all of us go through pain and trials. But God has a greater promise. I was thinking, I heard a message in the book of Job. I've talked about that a couple times, about Job. And Job went through some serious trials. We read that and it's a story. He lost all his kids. He lost all his money. His wife turned on him. And his health went to pot. He ended up having sores so bad he used a clay pot to scrape them off. And I'm sure with all that, he probably smelled bad too. And when it started out, Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You get into about chapter 30, Job says, I'm not sure I deserve all this. Right? Job started to struggle. Especially when his buddies started accusing him. And they were wrong, by the way. But as they were accusing him, I'm sure Job started to think, okay, I've been through a lot. You know, shouldn't this be ending here pretty quick? God, did I really deserve this? And then in chapter 37, God shows up and begins to talk to Job. Job, where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I set the heavens in place? Did you create the Leviathan? Did you do that, Job? Did you create all these things, Job? And when he begins to see God for who he is, his complaining goes from here down to here. And I would contend, and I'm going to jump over to, I just want to read one verse in Job chapter 42. And I would contend at the end of that, because was Job's faith refined? And you'll hear it, he says, in verse 42, verse 5, he says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. You see, God had taken Job and refined him as gold by fire. In the faith, and remember when this started out, Job was considered a pretty good guy. God even said, look across the earth. Is there anybody else like Job? He was a faithful man. At the end of chapter 42, Job was a man of great faith. Many of us would sit here and say, boy, I would love to be like Job in chapter 42. I'm not sure about 1 through 36. And so I want to talk. So what does this mean to us? Where are you at right now? Are you going through a trial that you really think God needs to end? Are you going through something where you want to put the limits on what it's going, what the timing is? And if you ever haven't had that thought, I'd really question you. We all go through that. That's why God says, keep your eyes on the inheritance. Because you're going through a season right now. And I need to refine you. There's things in your heart that I need to work on to draw you closer to me. That our faith might be refined like gold, even greater than gold. That's what God wants to do in all of us. And there is a season that we're going through. And we're going to learn a lot more as we go through 1 Peter about some of those seasons that God is taking us through. But in all of those, please have the confidence. God has your best at heart. He wants to pour His grace on you more and more. And if you're in that place and you've been kicking against God, which I find myself doing at times, this is a whole lot easier to preach than it is to walk. I'm going through a kitchen remodel right now, and I'm in the fourth week. I love clean and order. I'm not living in clean and order right now. And I start to get riled up in my spirit, being such a great giant of faith I am. So the reality of life is there, and we go through those struggles. And that just needs to be a time where we cry out to God and say, God, obviously I need you. Don't wait. Don't put limits on God's timing for what He wants to refine in you or me, because that inheritance isn't just for us. God wants to refine us so that we can share it with others and others can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes without those trials, our life is a lot less effective for the kingdom of God. We need to keep our eyes on Him. So just in summary, if we've put our hope in Jesus Christ and His resurrection, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and will never, ever fade away. And this inheritance is kept by the most mighty being ever in the universe. He created it so He can keep it. We're a people of hope, not because we have good circumstances, but because of the promises of God. Have you been focusing more on the circumstance and the promise? As I just said, confess it to God. Remember the life of Peter, because Satan wants to pull you off to the side. He wants to pull you off to the side, and I'm sure many of you have been there, and beat you up and think there's no way back. Remember what Jesus said, go get my disciples and Peter. I want to fellowship with them. And that's what He wants to do with each of us. Let's commit our time to the Lord if we could. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness today. We thank You for the truth of Your word. We thank You, O God, for the hope of our inheritance that Jesus has prepared for us. Lord, we confess, and I confess my own life, Lord. I often get caught up in the circumstances. And I just pray, Lord, for extra grace that we might yield to You in those things, that You would be glorified in each one of our lives. We just thank You and we praise You and honor You in Jesus' name. Amen.